Welcome everyone to the Rostal Show. I'm your host Rostal Chowdhury and can't wait to jump into this podcast episode. Episode number 81, we have a special guest, William Allen. So in this episode, we'll discuss with William about his newest book called Confession of a Sensitive Man. So don't forget to subscribe, leave a review on our podcast. Let's dive in. Hi, Mr. William. Thank you so much for coming to the show. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming and taking your valuable time and sharing your knowledge with us. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I want to thank you for having me. I'm doing really well and looking forward to talking to you about the subject matter.
Yeah, most welcome. Yeah, I really appreciate it coming. Last we spoke about like a couple of months back during the Christmas and lots of holiday went through and I had to deal with the COVID. So yeah, we finally met and now we actually get together and we can do the actual podcast, which I'm really excited about. So also like you mentioned, you launched your second book as well. So the original plus was talk about your first book, but now you got a second one. So we're going to discuss both of them book. So yeah, the first book, which is like Confession of a Sensitive Man. And right now you launched the second one, which is on being a sensitive man as well. So yeah, before we get to the book, I want to know more about yourself. How are you going to writing books and also mostly focus on like a self-improvement? Our audience would love to know more about you.
Okay, thank you. I spent most of my career in the corporate world. I was an information technology manager for a large bank, well-known bank. And around 2010, I decided I was going to take an early retirement. I was getting a little bit tired of the mergers and all the pressure doing information technology, decided I wanted to get out of it. And
yeah,
I kind of was at a crossroads because I have an undergraduate degree in psychology. And although I used some of that while I was in the corporate world, you know, dealing with managing people and so forth.
Yeah.
It really wasn't where I could apply what I like to learn about psychology and so forth. But anyway, I left corporate world and I started my own business in a medium-sized to small town in Oregon in the U.S., northwest U.S., and was a hypno-coaching. I learned to become a certified hypnotist and was a hypno-coaching type business. I also did neurofeedback brain training, of the company Brain Pilots, and I really enjoyed it and I really enjoyed helping people. And that's one of the things about being a highly sensitive person is that that's one of the characteristics that we have is really wanting to be out helping people. About 2016, I started writing a blog. I had known about this trait for about 10 years and wasn't quite sure how I could wrap my hands around it. So I decided I was going to write a blog about high sensitivity, or this personality trait called sensory processing sensitivity, specifically for men. And I wanted to write about issues that I thought would be relevant to men and were relevant to me. I spent a couple of years writing that, and then segueing finally into getting into the books, I had enough blog material and had done enough research that I was ready to sit down and write my book, first book.
Yeah.
Was Confessions of a Sensitive Man. And it was my journey as a sensitive man growing up with most of my life, not even knowing there was a trait for this and how I coped with it, how I was a young boy dealing with it and that kind of thing. And my personal experiences and the things that I learned. Eventually it led to the second book, which was more of a guidebook on being a sensitive man. So on being a sensitive man, the book title is really about things I learned in the process. So that's led me up to where I am today. And I'm getting the word out about high sensitivity and particularly high sensitivity in men.
Yeah, that's great. So in terms of like professional wise, what are you actually doing right now after your retirement in 2010?
I have been, like I said, I've been doing some personal family business in the last couple of years. My goal for 2022 is to ramp up portions of the old business that I had and bring some of that online and perhaps expand the market to more of a international market and working with highly sensitive men. So it would be coaching highly sensitive men and doing coursework for highly sensitive men so that they could learn to handle some of the obstacles and learn to ultimately embrace the idea that they are highly sensitive. It's not a disorder. It's not a bad thing, but a lot of men think that it is. So,
yeah, that's great. And congratulations on that, like launching your second book as well. So I love to go back to our first book because that was initial topic where we're going to about discuss, and then we can touch on the second book as well. So I really love the title of your book, which is Confession Over a Sensitive Man. But if you can explain a little bit about the title, what does it actually mean, and who are we actually calling sensitive man in terms of like the definition of your book?
Well, I think I need to do a level set here of what sensitivity is, because the world has a definition of it, and then the psychology has a definition of it. So the two don't always match. So let's start with that. And the book was really my owning up to the fact that I was I had this personality trait. So the confessions part of it was me just basically saying, okay, folks, here it is, world. I'm admitting that I'm a sensitive man. But anyway, sensory processing sensitivity, which is the trait, it's the scientific term for the trait, is comprised of four main things, okay? And sensitive people all have these same basic four things. We all have different individual personalities. We're, you know, half of sensitive people are men, half are women, almost right down the middle. But those four traits can be expressed in an acronym called DOES. This is from Dr. Elaine Aaron, who is the person who originated the term. DOES. D stands for depth of processing. Highly sensitive people process information at a very deep level. So we're not shallow thinkers. We're very deep, deep thinkers. You know, almost kind of think of it in terms of philosophical terms. We think things down very deeply. Yeah. So that could be emotional content. It could be sensory content. It could be intellectual content. But we always think at a very deep level. It takes a lot of CPU in the brain to be able to do that. It can be taxing at times. The second letter stands for overwhelm or overstimulation. We tend to get overstimulated very often. A lot of people, that's a characteristic a lot of people can see in a sensitive person, because a sensitive person is going to naturally want to go and relax, calm down, decompress, re-energize themselves. So they'll want a lot of alone time. So a lot of people who like to be alone and feel the need to be alone every once in a while like that, that's that overwhelm and overstimulation that happens. Okay, processing a lot of data, that's what happens when you do that. The third letter is E, and that stands for emotional reactivity and for empathy. High sensitive people are very emotional. You know, that's one thing that I think most highly sensitive people would agree on is they have a tendency to react to things at an emotional level. Could be something like a sunset, a beautiful sunset, and become teary-eyed about it, or it could be, it even could be a negative emotion, like anger, being outraged by something and wanting to do something about it. The other side of that E is empathy. We have, all of us have mirror neurons in our brain that allow us to be social beings. We can mirror back what is being communicated to us by cues that are coming from the other person. So they're very active in highly sensitive people, which makes us more empathetic towards what other people are doing. We can kind of read people better. We can kind of see what's going on just by the things that they're saying, the tone of voice, maybe the body language, et cetera. So those two things represent the E part. And the last part is the S, which stands for, I like to think it's sensory acuity, but Dr. Aaron calls it sensing the subtle in the environment. And this is the real kicker part about highly sensitive people, because that's the thing that really does separate us from 80% of the population. 20% are highly sensitive, 80% are less sensitive, but they still have some sensitivity as well. So it's that being able to pick things out of the environment, being able to see things that other people are missing. And that's the thing that nature has baked into highly sensitive people to be the cautious, thoughtful, wise counsel to the rest of the human population.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean make us saviors or any better than anybody else. It just means that's what nature designed us for. So if you take all of that in context, that's what sensitivity is. It isn't about being weak or being hurt too easily or any of that stuff. It's a combination of all of those characteristics that make a person sensitive.
Right.
So when I wrote the first book, the idea was to take that information forward and say, look, I'm admitting I'm a sensitive man. You know, and that's another problem too, is that culturally, men are not supposed to be sensitive, right? They're not supposed to be emotional. They're not supposed to be intuitive or nurturing or any of those things, overly empathetic. And so it's difficult for sensitive men to have to stand up, you know, basically to the world or to their families and friends and whoever, colleagues, and say, I'm a sensitive person. Because when they say the word sensitive, what happens is all those other definitions come bubbling up, and the sensory processing sensitivity trait is not even understood. So that's one of the things, and one of the main reasons I wrote the book, is to try to help other sensitive men stand up and say, look, you know, that's like me, and I'm okay with it.
Right. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So I have like a one question for you that leads like where you mentioned. So what is like actually being a sensitive person or sensitive man, how does it actually affecting our day-to-day activity, day-to-day life? Does it actually causes any kind of problem?
I think a lot of it is internal, right? Mm-hmm. For sensitive men, because they're all trying to live up to an expectation of what masculinity is.
Yeah.
So there's always this conflict of saying, well, you know, because I am quote unquote sensitive, because I'm more emotional, because maybe I'm a little more intuitive than less logical, I'm not following the pattern that society has dictated for what men are supposed to be.
Yeah.
So that translates out the door when they go out to the world and be in dealing with other men. Like in my world, when I worked in corporate, which was by and large, for most of my career, was mostly men. I was glad to see that was changing when I was leaving, but it, for the earlier part of it, was mostly men. There is expectations about how you behave and how you act under pressure, how you act under stress, how you act. It's almost like battlefield conditions, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm saying that kind of tongue in cheek, but the idea is that it's very stressful conditions to work under. And highly sensitive men may have problems in that environment. Although I've met a lot of men who are in IT.
Yeah.
Because of the pressures, you know, from management, from expectations that systems have to be up all the time, that kind of thing. So it could be your work environment that you have problems with. It could be relationship issues as you deal with partners who may be not so much embracing the idea that a man can be sensitive. You know, some people talk about, yeah, that's great for men, but then in reality, doesn't match up with what they're expecting a man to be. So they can have all these expectation things that they have to deal with themselves and the world.
Yeah, interesting. And we have like a, is there any way to find out like this person, like you're talking to me, is there any way to, you know, like I'm a sensitive person or not? Because we tend to be as a man, like we don't actually show our emotion or express it like how woman does. So is there any way to find out this person is like a sensitive person?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And let me just say this too, to your point there a second ago. Yeah. Sensitivity is a spectrum, okay? It's just think of it like a big bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
The very top end of the bell curve are those highly sensitive. That's the top 20%, say 25% of the curve.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the 80% aren't sensitive to things, but their relative sensitivity to the environment, okay, is not as high as it is. Now, there's good things about that. It makes them a little bit more resilient, right? It makes them a little bit more hardy in terms of dealing with change and so forth. But highly sensitive people are at that top end of that curve, okay? Now, to find out if you're a highly sensitive person, right now, there's only one test that's out there, and it's a question answer test. It's on Dr. Elaine Aaron's website, which is hsperson.com. And there's a pull down. You can see where the test is. Take it. It'd probably take you 10 minutes, maybe at the most 15. And you can self-grade it. You can find out whether or not you have enough of the characteristics that would put you in the bucket for highly sensitive people. And it's a real simple thing. Now, you can do that for children, too. If you have a child you suspect, they may not be old enough to take the test. You can do that based on behaviors. And that's also available as well.
Yeah, that's great. So it's like it's our head, to be honest. It's not like something you can actually, other person can see. It's like we're creating the situation on our head, like being sensitive and being emotional with the certain things. And does it like being a sensitive, is it actually affects on every aspect or like a certain things could be like be emotional with a certain person or like too obsessive with like a career wise or like a certain passion you have and being sensitive on that or like it is it actually affecting overall lifestyle for the person?
That's a really good question. The way I like to look at it is like this. I mean, everybody had, it's a personality trait. It's like introversion, extroversion, okay? That doesn't make you who you are completely. Mm-hmm. But high sensitivity is like a lens that you look at the world through, right? And it will shape and frame some of the things that you gather from the world. But you are, as an individual, you're raised in a certain environment. That's going to shape who you are. You may have other personality aspects that you have as well that may shape the way you look. So no two highly sensitive people, which we call HSPs, no two HSPs are the same. But that those traits that I mentioned a minute ago are kind of the lens that you look through the world at. And so, yes, it will affect the way you interpret information. Some people, even within the high end, are more sensitive to some things than others. Yeah. Some of it's sensory, some of it's emotional, some of it's, you know, whatever else that you can come up, you can slice that a million ways. But the idea is that, yeah, it will color the world that you see, but it's not going to make you, it's not going to completely dominate everything about you. You're still an individual. You know, you still grew up in a unique environment and you experience the world uniquely, and that's going to shape who you are as well. So that's the way I'd like to share that with people, is that it's just a prism that we look at the world through.
Interesting. So as a medical person, like a psychiatrist as well, so do you think, is there like any kind of medical disorder, we call it, or like any mental health issue, or like just another like guidance you need to overcome this?
Okay. Well, first of all, and one of the things that we're all trying to get out there is this idea that it's not a disorder. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, do highly sensitive people have a tendency to have things like depression and anxiety disorders? Yes, they do. But that's not a cause and effect thing. In other words, just because you have high sensitive sensory processing sensitivity doesn't mean you're going to be a depressed person. You're doomed for that, or you're going to have anxiety. Right. I think because they're high sensitive people are so aware of things like that, that they incorporate some of that into their personality as well. So they may seem to be, every highly sensitive person you know has some kind of quirkiness about them or something. Mm-hmm. But I think that's more about their awareness and not necessarily because of the personality characteristic. Yeah. Now, there are challenges for sure being a highly sensitive person. I will be, and that's the reason why I wrote the second book, is to talk about some of those as well. And there are lots of ways to do that, including things about how to learn to brain train your mind to be calmer, to be able to accept things, how to deal with overwhelm and overstimulation, to know how to set boundaries up, you know, for people are stepping over those with you, because highly sensitive people tend to let people cross their boundaries too many times. So there's a whole swath of things that you can do to help deal with coping with some of these things like the overwhelm and the overstimulation. But as a whole, it's also about embracing it and realizing the gifts that you've been given. And that is this ability to be aware of things that most people don't see. Some of our most creative people are highly sensitive people because they can put things together. Deep thinking mixed with the sensory, sensing the subtleties in the environment can help connect dots and create something brand new.
Yeah.
So as I would say to any highly sensitive person, if you feel you have a tendency towards depression or you have a tendency towards anxiety or any other mental health issue, go get professional help and assistance with that. But it's not going to be because necessarily you're highly sensitive, okay? It right. may amplify certain things that you may have. You may have a genetic predisposition for depression or some other of the other mental health disorders. But, and your high sensitivity might seem to amplify that.
Yeah.
But it's not the cause and effect thing that I think a lot of people think is true, that happens because of sensory processing sensitivity. Again, go find a professional help if you need that for those kinds of issues.
Yeah.
But there's lots of ways you can reach out, read books, join social media groups that are specific to high sensitivity, to meet other people. And that's the key thing, is finding your tribe, if you will, mm-hmm. and communicating with them so that you realize you're not the only person in the world that feels the way you do.
Yeah. So this is giving like a clarity as well, like what's actually going on. Without like asking a right person, you wouldn't know like exactly what the problem is. You're probably thinking this is the cause and effect, but actually it's not true. Could be something else in the deeper. They need to be like, uncover that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like I said, I think the more that this gets socialized and talked about,
yeah,
more people are going to start saying, oh, well, that's me. And I've been sort of dealing with this by myself, thinking I was the only person with this trait. And it's not true. And that there's something about that that's edifying for people to be able to know there are other people like me.
Yeah.
You know, there is. I mean, there's 1.5 billion people on the planet that have this trait. So it's not some small group. It's quite large.
Yeah, since like no one talks about it, and that's why the main issue, like until I met you, seen your book, there is like never heard of like anyone's talking about confession about like sensitive men and like men being a sensitive. Like it's always the like case of like for a woman, but oftentimes we forget about like men's are human being and they can be sensitive too, and that's it. So yeah, it's a great thing like you are doing, making an impact on people's life. So let's talk about your second book, which is on being a sensitive man. Now what's your second book about? What is like the whole purpose for like creating the second one?
Well, here's the little secret I didn't share with you earlier. When I wrote the first book, I actually wrote the second book, and they were going to be one book, and I decided to split them up because I thought it made more sense. Like I said, the first book is really kind of about my experiences and the things that I've learned in life as a sensitive man. The second book is focused on helping people to do those things you were talking about, coping with a trait that sometimes is not very well received out in the world, and sometimes it's very confusing for people to have. And I like the way you put the thing about the men being human beings, because a lot of these traits that we associate with sensitivity are traits that really are human traits, right? Yeah. Men and women have these traits. So putting people in little boxes and saying, you know, you can't be this because you're a man and it's a human characteristic is kind of like saying you can't be a full-fledged, fully engaged human being because that's not what men do. So, and that's a whole different topic about something else that I'm pursuing as well, is this idea of redefining what masculinity means, because I think it needs to be more inclusive. But back to the second book, I have it broken into like different tools. You know, each chapter is a different tool. It might have something to do with the way you stand up for yourself in the world, how you present yourself to the world and as a sensitive person, as a sensitive man, the mindset you need to deal with the kinds of challenges you're going to face. Maybe you've been facing your whole life and you just have been facing it in a kind of a retreating method. You should be moving forward, advancing, and being proud of who you are. I like to include a lot of stuff on flow state and Eastern philosophy, which I like to incorporate in terms of flow, because I think the concepts of chi and prana and flow all kind of seem to be talking similarly about things. And I think that's an important thing for highly sensitive people, because we do a lot of deep thinking, getting into a flow state, getting into that place where you kind of lose place and time and you're focused and you're engaged and you're doing your best work. Those are things that will really help highly sensitive people, I think. I talk a little bit about pushing your comfort zone. You know, we always talk about the comfort zone as something you jump out of and try something out of, completely out of the box for you. But my concept of doing this is taking the comfort zone like a balloon and just pushing it out. And that will incorporate new experiences without you having to abandon your comfort zone until you get maybe a little bit more comfortable doing that kind of stuff. So it's a little different thing about that. I talk about dealing with change, dealing with strong emotions. And here's a really important one. Highly sensitive people need to pick the life they're going to live and to be consistent with who they are and their personality. And that can include the workplace, the place you work at. Like I was saying earlier, I mean, I was okay, pretty good as an IT manager, but that wasn't where my passion was. That wasn't where I was really engaged and in flow state all the time. So finding something like that for a person, this is true for anybody, frankly, it doesn't have to be highly sensitive people, but it's just the idea of finding the right place for you, the right work environment for you. We spend so much of our time at work and so many people are doing things they hate just for the money. So I'm an advocate for not doing that. Brain training, that's something I was working on when I had my business, whether you're doing it with something like neurofeedback or whether you're doing it with meditation or whether you're doing it with mindfulness. There's some really excellent courses out there for brain training that that be offered by highly sensitive people. In fact, Julie Bielan is a good example. She does a great job of that. Self-acceptance, I think, is really important. And how do you go about doing that? How do you embrace yourself? And then I wrap up the book talking about masculinity, just like we were talking about. I think it's time in the 21st century that we start looking at these gender roles that we've had for centuries and see what applies today and what doesn't apply. And I think making them more inclusive and less restrictive, letting people be themselves, I think is really key. And then, you know, at some point, we can take that information forward and raising our children so that they have those ideas in their head as well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we have like a main problem is just not many people talking about that situation. That's why we're seeing lots of problems. The men's trying to hide things, like they're going through so many difficulties, probably professional, personal life, relationship, and eventually committing suicide because of this kind of thing. And the suicide rate is higher for men than a woman. And still, we are not like comfortable to talk about it, even though our spouse, partner, family members, or like again, get professional help like yourself or like a coaches. So those who's listening, like probably is someone like having a problem with like sharing the problem they're having, like going through some kind of difficulties, and they think it's like embarrassment to telling someone about their situation, and they're not strong enough as a being man. How important is that, like being open up with someone, like sharing what they're going through and what's going through on their mind?
Well, just like you said, the instances of men committing suicide is going up. And it's going up, even in groups as you might not expect, like men over the age of 50, right?
Yeah.
And part of the problem is that men have been socialized to believe that they're not supposed to be looking for help. They're supposed to know everything. They're supposed to act on things, and they're not supposed to be vulnerable. And that's the worst thing that can happen. Again, human beings can be vulnerable, whether you're male or female, and to be able to reach out for help is probably one of the greatest things that you can do for yourself. This idea of toxic masculinity is also toxic for men. You know, we often talk about the effects that it has on women and on children and other groups. But the reality is one of the main people suffering from that is the men who embrace that trait and go through life thinking that they can't express their emotions, they can't feel. There are purposes for emotions. There are reasons we have emotions. There are reasons why human beings cry, physiological reasons, healthful reasons that they cry. it isn't just because they're weak and they can't hold back tears and so forth. So I'm very encouraged. I'm a baby boomer, right? But I'm very encouraged by the talks I've had with millennials, with people in the Gen Z generation, and I'm assuming people that are going to come after them, about being willing to talk about this, mm-hmm. about willingness to open up the hood, so to speak, or the, I'm not sure, whatever language that suits that opening the hood to a car is, but looking at the engine basically is what it is. And re-examining and questioning whether all those things are good. And I totally and completely endorse that. And I'm very hopeful for all of us men, that we're going to be able to do that. And if a man is out there who can't seem to find help, especially if there's hotlines out there, I think in every country, probably in the world, about where you can call if you're thinking about committing suicide or you think something in those drastic terms.
Yeah.
But there's always help out there. There's always help out there. And you've got to reach out to people to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing, in my opinion, more manly than a man reaching out to get help. He's admitting that he needs it, and he's also thinking about the people that love him and care about him as well.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. Like, I was like a kind of suicidal, but I wouldn't do it because of religious belief. But thought was like a kind of like a suicidal, like I didn't want to live and anything, and I wouldn't care about anything after like losing my parents age of 13. So age 14 and 15, I was going through like a depression and stressed. I was on entry depression medication as well, being at such a young age, and I couldn't sleep. I had like insomnia at that time as well. So three person like really, really was there for me at that time. Like at the beginning was like my mom, then one of my sister, like I shared everything. Oh, if I needed to cry, I'm going to cry out. Then right now I have my wife, even though I could go through some time, like a tough times, and I'm sharing with them like what's going on in my head and everything. Then I get the comfort, you know, like then belief, like then it's like calm me down. One of my best friend, and why he does, like even though he loses his job or anything, wouldn't share with anyone, not even me as a friend, nor even his parents, nor even his spouse. And inside you can tell like he's going through like a lot of stress and anxiety in there. Just because if he speak out, there could be like a different opportunity. I probably offer him like there is a way, like this person is looking for an employee. Why do I try it there or not? The problem could be solved. But sometimes what we do, like, you know, we have like some kind of ego. Like if I tell him like what he's going to think about me, if I tell her what she's going to think about me, I'm probably weak. I can do this and that. But eventually inside you are like killing yourself and making the situation even worse. So yeah, like you mentioned, when we need to think about like as a man, it doesn't really matter. Like when we need to speak out something, we really need to speak out. And if we need any help and consultation, go get that kind of help and consultation. So you probably have like a lot of people come to you in terms of like getting that kind of help. So if someone comes to your office and says like, hey, I needed that kind of help on being sensitive over there, like what kind of steps do you take in order to help them?
If they come to me and ask about being sensitive, I think the number one thing, and like I said, right now I don't have any office and I don't have the coaching practice up yet, but I will tell you exactly what I would do. Is one of the things that sensitive men need to do is educate themselves about the trait. I think that's the hardest part, is for them to understand the trait. They can't accept it until they understand it. And if they do just some cursory reading, I mean, they could read Dr. Aaron's books, they could read my books, they could read Dr. Tracy Cooper's books. That'll give them a good foundation about what the trait is and who they are. And it'll make it a lot easier to embrace it. That's the second thing. Is once you've educated yourself, is to start embracing it. Reach out. You know, like I said, there's places where highly sensitive people are starting to meet. Most of it's online right now because of COVID and because of the circumstances we're in. But that's a good place to go out there, propose questions, ask people if you have a question about, you know, something that's personal or as personal as you want to be. Mm-hmm. And see if they'll share with you the same experiences that you have. That helps. That's affirming. That makes you feel like you're not alone in what you're doing. And that's a good thing. And as you learn to embrace the trait, like I did, and be able to do stuff like, you know, you don't necessarily have to write a book, but you could write a blog, or you could talk to other people or talk to other sensitive men that are struggling like you did.
Yeah,
that's a good way of educating the rest of the world about the trait and about what to do and how to deal with it. And there's all good information coming on online all the time. New research is coming out that is helping to define what the trait is a little more clearly. Right. They're using a lot of different equipment now, as opposed to just sort of subjective studies. That's helping show the neurological part of this trait, which goes, you know, is a good thing to ground yourself in, because then you know that it's that nature has designed you this way, is wired your brain this way. It's not a defect. It's just the way nature has wired us for a particular purpose. Now, Dr. Aaron says that it's an evolutionary quality, right? It's nature, as I said earlier in the show, baked this in for a purpose, for being cautious and wise and counselors to the rest of the population, kind of the canary in the coal mine scenario. Yeah. So if you realize that, then what happens is, even if you don't have, or you may already have, a purpose in life, this is a bigger purpose. This is a wider, broader purpose that you can adopt as part of your life mission as well. And I think that helps people no matter whether they're highly sensitive or not.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So yeah, we're running out of time this podcast. Thanks for your valuable time. So one last thing, which is, how, if anyone wants to read your book, how they can find your books, where they're available?
Right now, they're both available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Apple Books, probably anywhere they look to see their where they normally get their online books. But if they can't find it anywhere or can't, don't have access to those other sources, they can go to my website, thesensitiveman.com. And there's links there that can take you right to the publisher, and you can buy it directly from the publisher. So it's easy enough one way or the other. You can get it either at the normal retailer, or you can get it through my site, which will take it to the publisher.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, another thing, which is like, since you said you're going to start taking on new clients for your coaching, if any sensitive men, if they want to reach out to you and start working with you, is the best place to go, like your website, or do you have any social media platforms?
I'm on Facebook as The Sensitive Man. I am on Twitter as The Sensitive MA1. It couldn't get man. I got MA1. That's what I got. And I'm also on Instagram, Z Allen W. But here's the best thing. Go to the website, sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah.
And what you'll get is, when I'm ready to bring it up again, the coaching business, they will be the first to know about it. And they can certainly email me, because there's a link there to do that as well. If they have any specific questions, I don't mind hearing from people and answering anything.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing those. So I really appreciate it for you coming to the show and sharing the valuable lesson to our audience. Hope it's going to bring a lot of value for their life and also help them. So I wish you good luck, Alan. I hope you have a wonderful year. And
thank you.
I thank you for coming to the show again.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the time. Thanks.
You're most welcome. Thank you. So that's a wrap, guys. You know how to find William. So you go check out his website and his social media platforms if you want to reach out to him. Also go on Amazon and also his website for finding those books. And yeah, get each copies and read it through. Till then, stay safe, stay healthy. I'll talk to you in the next episode. Take care, everyone.